represent him in his word. And there's a fear there that she's something in error, so just please keep it in prayer. And I think, like Pastor's saying, this group gets it. We're rare. We get it. We know we're going to go through it. It's coming. You can see it coming. We were talking about this Friday, but to say we're there is dangerous.
Amen.
I need to see things. I need to see markers that tell me that we're there. And I need to see, the abomination of desolation is one of those markers, which means I need to see a temple first. So we could be in danger of just telling people we are right there at the doorstep, and then nothing happens for another 20 years.
Right.
They will look to you and say, the sky's falling, Chicken Little. And we have young people in our church with children. Lance is young, Ryan's young. They could still marry somebody and grow a family. You know, do we want them saying, why do this? Why even move forward with my life if we're right there? Mm-hmm. So to me, there's a danger of it. But I think, like I said, this group sees what's going on in the world and knows we are close to it anyway, because everything seems to be falling into place technology-wise. The way of marking you, monitoring you, the world system is global totalitarianism. Everybody knows that the vaccine's a joke, COVID's a joke. But why they're pushing this to scare people and to get them under their thumb by bullying and by fear. So that's Marxism, and Marxism is Satanism. It removes God from the equation. So, we're looking at Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And so to me, this thing is clearly coming. And like we were saying, we were talking with Wendy earlier, is what you see are opposites. We read it in Galatians 4. We're going to go over this again. Galatians 4, we talked about that these things are allegories, they're types. So you always have types in your Bible. There's two types, there's two men, we've said this before, there's two men in your Bible when you read your Bible, Christ and Antichrist. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. There's two women, the bride and the harlot. Okay, so there's always two types. There's also two cities, heavenly Jerusalem and hellish Babylon. So I think, who could see that what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, that Mystery Babylon is not any one earthly city, but it is the whole place of hell. Everybody kind of see that?
It is the government of this world.
That's
the
right.
The prince of the power of
the
earth.
It ends up in the pit.
Right, yeah.
The children of disobedience.
Yeah.
That the spirit of wickedness is on the children of disobedience. Because it's an opposite. If we are, we saw last week, we're the bride, we're heavenly Jerusalem, that's what they called us. But we have not attained that yet, but yet we are here on the earth until that is attained. So think opposites. Babylon is a mystery. It's a city that of people that are unbelievers, that they're going to end up in the pit when Christ comes. So we get caught up. The world sees him come. We get caught up. We're out of sea at last. And as he's coming down, he's pushing them down into their place. Right? So that's that sea at last. We'll go look into all this stuff. But I wanted to get into Galatians 4 again. And I just want to, there's some words here. Think opposites. Like I said, always think opposites here. There's God's kingdom and, what did I say? Galatians? Okay, so Galatians 4, we talked about this last week, but it's not bad to keep going over these things. So, 4:22, it is written, Adam had two sons. So, two sons. 4:22, Galatians 4:22. Okay.
Abraham, not Adam.
I'm sorry. Abraham had two sons, one by the bondmaid, one by the free woman. Okay, so if the woman represents one of these cities, What city does the free woman represent? Okay, so what city would the bond woman represent? Mystery Babylon, right? So that's my point. It's not just any one city out there. It's the whole realm that they're going to dwell in. So, which things are an allegory. Diane, what's an allegory?
It's a story.
Type, it's a type, figure, it's a figure. Okay, which are two covenants. So there's two covenants. There's a covenant of eternal life, mm-hmm. and there's a covenant of eternal death. Right? Who is the prince of eternal life?
Jesus.
Who is the power over death and the prince of death? Satan. God said that he has the power over death. God will say, Satan, go kill that guy, and he'll do it.
Right.
Okay, one is from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar. So Hagar is Mount Sinai, she's bondage, right? What happened at Mount Sinai?
The law.
The law doesn't save
you. No, the law shows you that you're dead.
That's right. That's bondage. Right. The law is, right? That's bondage. If you try to keep the law, you're under bondage.
Right.
Christ sets you free from the law. As a matter of fact, when you keep Christ, you actually keep the law perfect.
Right.
Okay, so you have two, and this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia to answer it to Jerusalem. She's going to answer to Jerusalem. And which is above and free in the mother of us all, which now is and is in bondage with her children. So we're in bondage too. We're in bondage to this world, to Mystery Babylon. They have had their foot on our throats since Cain killed Abel,
right.
Since the rebellion in the garden. They have been on us, they have persecuted us, they have gone after us. So we are right now in bondage too. Until Christ comes, then we're set free, and then they're in bondage. Okay, but Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, okay, there you go, there's a free woman, she's above, the mother of us all. So she's our mother. So in Ephesians 2, when it said that for this cause man shall leave his father and his mother, 5, and the two shall become one, but I speak of Christ and his church. So Christ came from the mother,
right.
Heavenly Jerusalem. He left the father to be bound to his wife. So there's the picture there, that the unity that they had, God wants for his son and his bride, and that's what we are to do with our wives. So you can see the progression, the typology here. So here, verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou that barren, and bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate had more children than she which has the bride, the husband. So there's more of them than there is of us. And their dwelling is going to be desolate. It's not going to be a city where you're going to go in and out and worship God. They are going to be on their own in a desolate land called hell. They're not going to be gathering together. They're not going to be hanging out and drinking beer and partying because I want to go to hell because that's where all the cool people are. I forgot who said it.
They must have had a hell of a band.
Yeah, there's a big party down there. No, you are going to be suffering for eternity in hell, and it's going to be a place of desolation. And you'll be alive. They're going to be alive during that whole time. So,
So it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry. So we're going to be married. The church is going to be the bride of Christ.
Absolutely.
There's a marriage.
That's right.
Right. In this, you're saying this is the what do you call it? The harlot. This is the Mystery Babylon. This is, and there is no husband. Why are they bare? Why are they bare?
Well, there's two women, like we talked about, there's two women that are going to give birth on the day of the Lord. Heavenly Jerusalem, you're going to be resurrected. That's giving birth. That's a new birth. We are going to get our resurrected bodies, and we're going to be married to Christ. There's a travailing woman, Mystery Babylon, that's going to give birth to her children, too. except they are going to be husbandless. It's always the opposite.
So it's just like Sarai.
That's right.
And Hagar.
That's right.
Hagar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Sarai, she wasn't able to have children until she was very old.
That's right.
Until the promised seed came. But Hagar, she was able to squirt them out by toothpaste.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a joke, but it's a good point. The typology is there. Two women are prevailing. There's two women that are going to give birth on that day. Mystery Babylon, their children are going to be resurrected unto eternal damnation. That's the second death. The Bible does not say that there's another resurrection after Christ comes. He says there's a second death that's coming. And that second death is when these are thrown alive into the lake of fire where they are tormented forever and ever.
Well, in 21, Revelation 21, where it talks about dead and seed,
that's
all
right.
That's going to give up their dead and all that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. That isn't a second resurrection.
That's
it's
right.
Just calling for judgment. That's
and he even says that. Don't keep your finger there, but I even show you, he even says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
This doesn't
say anything about another resurrection. When Christ comes, they are resurrected unto the second death.
Yes.
They are cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death.
Resurrecting righteousness and resurrecting
That's right. And read John chapter 5. It clearly says that there is a day and hour coming when Christ comes to judge the world, and they that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Go ahead, John.
Verse 23, it's really plain there.
It's plain. It's clear.
One after the flesh, one after the promise.
It's right. That's right. There.
So what I'm understanding is that she's a harlot because Satan never really intended to marry her.
That's right.
Jesus intended to marry us.
That's right.
He wanted to have his pleasure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. His earthly
but
pleasure.
But that he wanted no responsibility of marriage.
That's right. And also the heart. So God creates man in his image. All are created. When God breathed into Adam the breath of life, everybody was born as a child that could enter the kingdom. So they decided, well, I don't like his laws. I'm going to commit harlotry against him. Right? Go ahead, man.
It shows that there's no commandment on Satan's behalf, too.
That's right. He doesn't care about him.
He's basically going to use these people. They're going to be...
That's right.
They're not going to be in a marriage ring because there's not going to be an ongoing plan. He's just going to use them to the desolation.
Well, for him, it's always about just him.
It's
he has no interest in anybody else. He doesn't have a love for people like that.
That's right. Okay.
And that shows in our walk every family destruction.
They don't care. They don't care about them.
Yeah.
Okay, it says, seven kings, five are fallen, ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but have power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Okay, and then it says, the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast shall hate the whore.
Right.
They don't care about them. They're not, taking a knee, Black Lives Matter. They don't care about them. They hate them.
They
want to
death. Right?
Exactly.
They're fodder for the fire.
That's right.
All these young progressives, we had a waiter wait on us, and you can tell, he's a young progressive, and all he is just wood for the fire.
It's a useful idiot.
Yeah, useful idiot.
Yeah. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? He said, "Ye generation, genealogy of vipers." What's a viper? It's a serpent. It's a dragon. It's a devil.
Mm-hmm.
He called them a generation, a genealogy of vipers. You don't care about people.
Right.
That's what the Pharisees did. They didn't care about people. They just cared about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Now, we, brethren, as Isaac, are children of the promise.
Mm-hmm.
We have the promise. This is the opposite. They don't have it. We have the promise is, I'm coming, you are going to be my bride. It's about Christ. That's the promise. That's the reward. It's always Jesus. If our reward is focused on something else, like a resurrected body, or the kingdom of heaven, and I'm not going to, your Christianity is wrong. He's the reward.
Right.
He is. That's what we're looking forward to seeing, the one that paid it all for us, that loved us so much, and you are going to, the typology is husband and wife.
Right.
You are going to enter a relationship like with him of love you have never felt in this world.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for. Amen. I'm trying. I'm trying to live my life like that. I'm trying to love my neighbor. I'm trying to love my wife. But you will never actually experience it until he appears. Now he that was born after the flesh, remember that? He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. And even so is now. They persecute us. We do not get removed from persecution, from tribulation. We're of their father. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. For thy sake, for his name's sake. Not for my sake. Not because, I disagree with them politically. They hate us because we love him.
Right.
Nevertheless, the scriptures say, cast out the bondwoman. So if the bondwoman is going to be cast out, where is she going?
Now in darkness.
And her son.
And her son. Her heirs, the ones who
That's right.
are offspring or trust in her.
That's right.
Is the same picture again with Abram, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael.
That's right.
Ishmael, when he grew up, he was 13, 14 years old when Isaac was a child, a little bitty child. He was picking on him. Sarah got mad, threw her out. The angel told them
That's
to
right.
come back.
That's right.
To cement themselves for a time.
That's
and
right.
then at the end, they were cast out again.
And I think actually maybe it was Doug or you had said, you know, some of these people are going to be blessed in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Hagar's children.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is going to save some of them.
Yeah.
But the type we're talking typology here, okay? So, cast out the bondwoman, that she shall not be heir with the son and the free woman.
Right.
That's our promise. We are heirs. It's not happened yet, but it's going to happen. And who cares what they do to us in this world? That's the promise that we're going to get. So we, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Remember that. No matter what they do to us, Pastor said it earlier in the prayer, no matter what they do to us, we are going to enter eternity as a free person, living in a godly realm with Jesus Christ, our husband. They are going to suffer for eternity. So I just kind of turned to Revelation 21. I did a kind of like a short little thing here on Galatians 21. We are born of the free woman and the bondwoman. There's a bondwoman and a free woman. The free woman, born of the Spirit. Her home is Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. She is the mother of us all. We're the bride. We're the children of promise. We are born after the Spirit, and we are heir to the free woman. We are going to be married to her son, and we are children of the free woman. The bondwoman, born after the flesh, lives according to Mount Sinai. Trying to keep the law. They're hellish, Babylon. Their place is going to be hell, Babylon. She's the mother of harlots. Her children are desolate. They persecute us. And then they're going to be cast out and her son. And they are children of the bondwoman. So Revelation 21. I know we did this last week. I just feel like this is where God is leading us to get a good idea of the two. So by studying Mystery Babylon, the blessing that we are under. So let me see, 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. 21:1. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What does that mean? There's no more sea.
People groups.
People.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no more Babylon.
That's right. Sea of iniquity. What did God say when he flooded? I'm not going to flood the planet with water again. But there is a flood of iniquity that is called a sea of iniquity. So let's look at it. Revelation 12. Mary, Revelation 12, 15 and 16. Lauren, Revelation 16. 13 and 14, and Lance, Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. We'll go in Okay, so what's the serpent? Open his mouth. So did water come out of the serpent? No. And what happened when he cast out water as a flood to go after the woman? The earth opened up. Where did they go? Where did the flood go? It went down, right? Okay.
Revelation 16, 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
Oh, do you see the picture here? The devil's casting out a flood, the serpent, the false prophet, and who else? But they cast out unclean spirits out of their mouth. This is the flood of devils going forth to bring people to the opening of the earth and then going down. Right? So there's unclean spirits that are going to flood this planet that are going to... what do frogs do? They hop on things.
They also live in the water.
And that's right. So that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, so, right? So they're going to leave. That's right. So this is what we've been talking about, Daniel 2, about that fourth kingdom, that mingled kingdom, that they're going to mingle with demonic entities in the last days. Go ahead, Lance.
Ephesians 2, what?
1 through 3.
And you have he put it. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Do you see it? The Spirit, same Spirit, this is the unholy Trinity. You have a Trinity, I actually don't like the word, it's triune God, it's the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? You have an unholy Godhead, right? Satan, his son, son of perdition, Antichrist, and unclean spirits that go forth doing his work. He's not omnipresent, like our Holy Spirit. Well, we were talking Friday, how he could be in Gates 1 minute, and yet he could be somewhere else in another minute, ministering to the same people. Yeah. They can't do this. They are singular. They have to go out and attack people singularly. I'll say this, though. Everybody here has a job. You have something. You have families to raise. This is what they do 24-7. They're devils. They want to attack the believer. They're not going to go after Joel Osteen. No. They're not even going to go after John MacArthur. They are going to go after this. They want this. They don't like truth being taught.
The way that, just to interject, the way that Satan mimics the omnipresence is through the media system.
Answers. That's right.
He can be all over the
That's
world
right. at
one
time. So Satan, and how does he attack us? We are of the Spirit. We want to live godly. We want to shake off the things of the flesh. Our sins bother us, but yet he attacks them through their flesh. Yes, does he send fiery darts into their head? Yes, but it's to feed their flesh. It's about pride. It's about lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's how he attacks them. And it works.
Well, instead of attacking them, that's how he feeds them.
That's
how he attacks us.
That's
because we're trying to stay away from those three things.
That's right.
We're trying to be guarded by the Spirit of God,
that's
the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, what he feeds the enemy with is those same three things.
We have the old man.
So you have the old man, yes. And so so instead of him attacking, because he'll never attack his own, the world will love his own, right?
That's right.
And
that's right.
They will hate us.
That's a good point. He uses those things to attack us.
Right.
They're on board with all that
right.
stuff.
Mm-hmm. A house divided cannot stand.
And his house is divided.
Yeah.
It will not stand.
Mm-hmm. So it's safe to say that, and as time goes on, Satan's given more and more strength.
Absolutely.
You look back at 200 years ago, and they were walking and, riding the horse, and now we've got media that everything's happening in real time.
Mm-hmm. Because Matthew 24 talks about end times, relevant to us, of course, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So the people are narcissists.
Where is it again that the wicked will become wicked?
Yeah.
They're just going to get wickeder.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's
right.
Going to get worse, worse, worse. It ain't getting better.
And as you see during this time, during Revelation, the last 3.5 years, when the plagues are coming down,
yes.
They're not repenting. They're hardening like Pharaoh. They're actually becoming more hard-hearted against him. They're not repenting from it. Yeah, absolutely. And like he said, we're the target. We are. They're going after Christians. It's not about conservatism. They know most conservatives are Christians. They're going after us. They know we don't get vaccinated. We don't safe distance. You're not going to shut down our churches. They are going after us. I'm telling you right now, this whole thing, this is vaccines a farce.
Yeah, it is.
The plague is a farce. They're going to say, you people are causing it. You didn't get the vaccine. You didn't get all my money. You're causing
it. The president said just this last week that those who are not vaccinated are the ones that are the problem.
That's right.
Those who don't shut the churches are the ones that are the problem.
Yeah.
And to top it off, the second virus coming around is even, it's more like a cold than it is anything.
Yeah.
But they put a name to it that makes it sound as
it caused a worldwide panic.
Yeah,
and keep feeding it to people 24/7. It's a flu. It's a flu.
Well, the second one is only a cold.
That's right.
It's sniffles.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, so we get that. No more sea. Go ahead, Lance.
Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved.
That's right.
So it shows God's loving arrangement for us.
That's right.
That he did intervene on our behalf.
Grace.
Again, it's grace. While we were yet sinners,
that's right.
Christ died for me and God.
He has a plan for us. There's an ongoing plan for us.
Okay.
We see that Satan's children are fatherless. It's not really a plan.
That's right. That's right. You know, Muslims say Allah has no father.
He has no son.
And then they also say he's not a kind God.
Right. He's the chiefest of liars.
That's right.
Is in the Quran.
That's right.
You can see the contradiction too, where Satan worshippers, like one of their main beliefs is, you know, Satan is enlightenment.
It
says in the Bible that Satan will be transformed into an angel.
Absolutely.
And you can see that, like where people have it twisted and but they don't understand there is no plan for them.
Freemasonry teaches Luciferianism, enlightenment. And they will even say, I'm a Luciferian, which means that they believe that they have been enlightened.
Luce means light.
That's right.
All right. Luciferian. It means enlightenment.
Yeah.
Right. It is shining forth something.
That's right.
One of the things that are against truth.
Right.
Exactly. Because there's the true light.
Right.
There's the this, and he is a light bearer. He steals light.
Yeah. Wow. That's what New Age is.
The enlightening coming up the pineal gland, coming through the spine, the chakra.
Yep.
We could go on and on about this. I do not want to focus on these.
Amen.
Believe me, I could sit here and talk to you about Freemasonry, the Illuminati, the 13 Club. I don't want to roam. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I don't want to go here.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, it just shows you that constant theme that, you know, that's enlightenment. That's light, like all this mindfulness, yoga.
Yeah.
Worshiping.
It's right. Two religions. Do and done.
And the Bible does say that, you know, Satan translates himself into an angel.
That's right.
So but Jesus says, I am the true life that came in.
That's right.
I'm the true life that gave life.
If the light of your eyes is single, your whole body is single.
Right.
They seek their own light.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Their own enlightenment. Me, pride. Yeah. Pride. The saying that Satan will appear as a horns and a red cape and a pitchfork, right? This is how they picture him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He appears as this brilliant, intelligent, beautiful thing, well-spoken, and he can be different. But we've said all along, he knows the Bible, but he doesn't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Or else they would have not have tried to crucify Christ if they knew what they were doing.
And he doesn't believe it.
And he doesn't believe it. He still thinks he can win, even to this day.
Yeah.
He does not, and it's not until Revelation 12 when he is cast out. Now he can see, I can't go back into heaven. Right. Right now he goes to and fro accusing the brethren. But there's a time when he is thrown to the earth and he becomes like a man.
Right. And he cannot.
He cannot go back and forth. Oh, yes. And the people on the earth are going, you? We followed you? Yeah. It is you that we were following? Okay, so let's move on. 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. So you see the connection here. Heaven's New Jerusalem is called a bride prepared for her husband. I don't understand how that works, but we're heavenly Jerusalem. And is it a place? Absolutely. You can see it's got four walls, it's got foundations, it's a dimensional place. We'll get more into that. But you can see it's calling us heavenly Jerusalem. A city on a hill cannot be hid. We're that city. It'll make sense. I promise you, it'll make sense when you take your last breath and you step into that realm.
Right.
Well, the city's not a city without inhabitants.
That's good.
True.
That's right. Okay, so, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. There's your reward, the Godhead. So look at our reward here, too. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death.
Amen.
Neither shall be sorrow or nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm on board with that.
Amen.
This is the throw-ins of putting him first. And he sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. That's all you need to hear. His words are true and faithful. I can bank my life on those words right there. I don't need any man to come in here and say, well, you know, it was in there, you know, what they didn't know. No, it says these words, Jesus are these words. I do not add to it, and I do not take away from it. I just believe it. And that's what's going on here. Okay, and he said unto me, verse 6, it is done. So if it's done, it's done, right? It's over. When he appears, when he comes here, look, I know there's an extra 30 days and an extra 45 days, but it is over when he appears here. It's over. It is done.
It was over on the cross.
Absolutely.
And
it's
when
done.
He died for the sin of man, of the world.
That's right.
It was, when Jesus said, it is finished.
That's right.
It was finished.
It is finished means it is done. Right? It's already a done deal. We're just waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
What do I care about my, this? I'm 62 years old. It's starting to let me down. Really? Come on. So here you go. So here's the two people. Verse 7. And he that overcometh. Oh, he that overcometh. Overcomes what? Nothing? Overcomes you driving in your car, listening to Robin Mark, and poof, you're gone? You're not overcoming anything. What you're overcoming is tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Right?
Well, he defines that in 1 John 5, I think it is, where he talks about how to overcome this, and that's keeping your faith.
That's right.
You're watching everything.
That's
and
right.
Keeping your faith till the end.
That's right. Yeah, I was talking, me and Wendy, we were talking Friday. You'll see, I don't really bring a whole lot of other things here except Scripture. But every once in a while, I like to look at early church fathers that sat under the apostles, like Clement and Barnabas and Polycarp. And I like to read what they have to say. I don't hinge my doctrine on them. But guys that immediately sat under them, they all said the same thing. There are people that are going to be faithful and fall at the end.
That's what they said.
Yeah. They said. That's what we say. You better endure till the end. You saying a prayer is the start of your race.
Right.
You don't get saved at the start of your race. You get saved at the end of your race.
Mm-hmm. So you are born again, but you're not saved.
When are you? Yeah. You're saved at the end, right? That I may attain the prize. You don't get the prize when you enter the race.
Even in the physical, you're born out of your mom.
That's right.
And you don't get your rights until you're 21.
That's right.
Chris said I'm saved to my boss. I was trying to go saved from what? And I tried to explain it, but in honesty, it is pretty true what you said. You're not saved till the end.
So what you do is pull out your Zippo, strike it under sand. You're saved from this fire.
You know, and I do. Hebrews 6 makes this clear. This whole thing about, you know, I was born again on July 5th at 3:30 in the morning. Hebrews 6 says that's when you were enlightened.
Right. Okay.
That's when God came to you and enlightened you that you are a dirty, filthy sinner and deserve to burn. And it's right. So now I am enlightening you to the gospel. So that may be the time that he really enlightened you to it. Now he's going to test you. Now he's going to try that thing you said to him. Lord, save me. Now he's going to put things before you, and he's going to say, are you going to draw into me, or are you going to go back to the world? So the testing begins of your salvation after you've been enlightened.
So that would be considered a spiritual birth.
Absolutely.
More than
enlightening. I'll call it an enlightening.
Enlightening, yeah. Where was it?
It's Hebrews 6. It's Hebrews 6. It's clear.
It's actually a water birth. It's the preparation. It's John's baptism.
That's right.
First enlightenment is the water birth. It's not the spiritual birth yet. John came to prepare the way. And he was the one who set forth the enlightenment. That's what he said. That's what the scriptures say. I came to prepare the way. And it was just in preparation. But I can give you nothing. Only that can be brought down from heaven or something. Your spiritual birth is the only true life. But it's so necessary for preparation. That's right. Why there's the two baptisms. Mm-hmm. And they're not baptisms in the sense of physical bend of the or water. It's a birth first in water, preparation, and secondly in the spirit. The Lord says at the end of the Gospel of John, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Although they walked with him for 3 years, so truly they did choose him. But not in spirituality. And he says, now I have chosen you.
Right.
That was their spiritual birth.
That's right. Go ahead, Lance. And then I'll move on.
So we have to be married to God's arrangement that shows that commitment till the end.
That's right.
Before we are sons of God.
And we are betrothed.
Yes.
God can always break the betrothal. Right?
Yep.
Okay, so
if you're found, if you were found having adultery in your betrothal, your husband has the right to throw you out.
That's right. And what kind of adultery are we really talking
spiritual.
About? The spiritual.
Right.
Like the allegory.
And that applies both before and after. So
yes.
In the betrothal, you just simply don't enter into marriage.
That's right.
Right.
Flat out.
That's right.
But even after you're married, if you're found an adulterer after marriage,
that's right.
You still
the Lord set that as the only exception to the law.
That's right.
That if you're found in adultery, you can be divorced. That's the endurance on the end.
That's right.
You don't get chosen, then it's all golden from here.
That's right.
Thinking of that, as Paul said, if the unbeliever wants to leave, let him leave.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
The typology,
right?
The allegory.
Yeah. But it's an allegory. It's a spiritual thing. If the unbeliever, the one who doesn't want to believe in Christ, doesn't want to believe, you've got the right.
That's right.
To leave.
That's right.
So I got a question then. So going off of what Lauren said, If you can commit adultery after you're married, are there going to be those that after the end times?
No. When he comes, it's over. When he comes, either you're for him or against him. You will no longer be able to have that sinful mind thought because you're going
to
be ready.
Coming up to that point?
That's right. That's removed.
Coming up to that point, yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Right? But once you're at that point, you cannot.
That's right. That's the promise.
Why would you? If you went through all of this and saw all that was coming, why would you even think?
And would he allow that? Bring you through all that stuff and then just go, go ahead. He's got you. He's got you. He's not going to let you go.
There must be some tie with the angelics that stayed with Christ and the angelics that left.
Right.
All right. That's what we're talking about. There was a free will in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely. And it was done.
And it was done.
It was a one-time deal.
One-time deal.
They followed him and they followed Satan in the rebellion, and it's no longer happening.
Right.
I don't understand it. That's why they're not redeemable.
Right.
When a third of the angels followed Satan in the rebellion, some of them that mingled with humans before the flood are in chains of darkness, but there are still some that have rebelled against him, and the mingling happened again after the flood because there was giants in those days after that. So you still had... And I say there's nothing that tells me that this has not been going on for 4,500 or 5,000 years, whatever it's been. As a matter of fact, I think the manifestation of iniquity you're seeing is actually that.
Right.
You can see in their eyes that their souls have been sold.
Yeah.
You can see it's just empty.
How many times we've said it all the time, that person's evil. Not just lost, that person's evil.
Something curious on that time, too, with you talking about opposites. A third of the angels fell, two-thirds stayed. A third of man's carried, two-thirds falls.
That's right.
I don't know what
those are, the numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I like that. Okay, so he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, those people, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. How many is that? Eight. What does eight represent?
A new
beginning. They have a new beginning.
Right.
And it's hell. Okay.
Can I just say something about the one-third, two-thirds? In decimals, the one-third is 0.333333 infinity. And the other is 0.666666 to infinity.
Oh my goodness!
What are those?
You can't.
Those are the decimal conversions of the number one-third and two-thirds.
There's no end to
that.
Wow, on either side.
On either side.
Praise God, folks know how to
cipher. He sure knows his gazillions. He does. Thank you. That was a blessing. As I let's wrap it up. That was good. That was worth it right there. Okay, so
and you should study
please look. We don't need the world. We don't need Olympics. We don't need Fox TV. Get in your word like never before. God is going to start showing you things. Get in your word and count things. God is going to teach you. There is numbers in your Bible. And he will bless you with that.
And if he brings something to your mind, better chase it right then.
Chase it.
Amen. Because you'll lose it.
That's right.
Cannot get up from the desk.
Absolutely.
You know?
Be sensitive to God with your reading. I think we all see this and we're like, okay, I finished that chapter. I need to move on to the next chapter. Or I finished this book. I need to move on to the next book. Be sensitive when he says, Paul, I want you to look at that.
Yeah.
Look at it. Chase it through the Bible because he's actually going to show you something through the Bible by those words that you will not get by reading chronologically year in and year out. If you chase the word, he's going to show you he uses words for a reason.
Yeah.
And he's going to teach you solid doctrine.
In this what you just read in 21:8, the fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful.
Yeah.
Those who are fearful are not going to be allowed into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
I don't care how many prayers you pray. I don't care how many good works you do. If you are fearful,
that's right.
You can't come.
That's so what I'm faith. If you're fearful, that's what I'm faith.
Yeah.
We were talking about this Friday. I don't know. For me, the last 18 months, I've been sleeping like a baby. I have not been in fear. I have not had anxiety. Oh, no, they're going to come to my house. They're going to take away my paycheck. I'm not living in that. He's got me. He's got me. He's. Well, no matter what, he's got me. Okay. Okay, so, and they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So the lake that's burning with fire and brimstone is not hell.
No.
Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So with the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was, he was in hell and his soul was being tormented. Right? That hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. That is actually worse than hell.
So hell could actually be an angelic host type.
Right.
All
right.
Hell is not a geographical location in the center of the earth, or wherever you want to call it.
It's dimensional.
It's dimensional. Right. And so that whole dimension of the holding cell, what we call hell, that the Bible calls hell, that whole spot, that whole prison system is going to be destroyed.
So that would be like what, the opposite of Abraham's bosom?
Yes.
That's right, and Abraham's bosom was in hell.
Yes.
But there was a great gulf.
In between.
See? There was a sea between them, a great gulf between them that the person couldn't go here. And so when Jesus came, he took Abraham's bosom and let captivity captive. Everybody before Christ, when they died, if they believed in Christ, they went into Abraham's bosom, paradise. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to
Jesus said today.
That's right. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And when Paul was caught up to heaven, he saw paradise. I'm going to say, we're going to look at this at some point. I keep saying it. I'm going to suggest the Garden of Eden is paradise. That's right. And it'll prove it. I know Doug, I saw this years ago, and I was afraid to say something because I had never heard anybody else say it. And then Doug said it, and I go, I seen that.
Yeah.
The Garden of Eden is heavenly Jerusalem. It's actually paradise. In other words, when Christ comes, Jesus says, when I come into regeneration, he's going to recreate the planet. It's going to be three-dimensional. There's going to be animals. There's going to be a three-dimensional planet. There's going to be rivers, towns, cities. The dimensional is heavenly Jerusalem. You're going to walk into the dimensional place. It's four square. That's dimensional. That is how you enter into that dimension. But the earth is going to be a three-dimensional place again.
Yeah, and Solomon says that which was shall be.
That's right. He talks about that the sun and the moon, they abide forever. He says that in heavenly Jerusalem, you have no need of the sun and the moon.
So who's living in this place on earth then?
Well, there were towns to be inhabited, but we are going to go into heavenly Jerusalem is going to be like where we meet God.
Right?
Right? Where we keep the feast, where we go. Well, you're going to be living on the planet.
Heavenly Jerusalem is the marriage, right? So you have the marriage before you have the adoption. And the adoption is when we're actually God's sons. Like, in perfect unison. The second death is when the rest of that system, that sea, is completely
removed.
That is
the air removed. So, I'll say it again. When you, we'll get into it, maybe. Okay, we got time. So, yeah, that's actually it. So I'm going to suggest something. When the dimensional, it says the breadth. Remember we did this last week?
Yeah.
Right? The breadth, the length, and the height.
Right.
The foursquare does not mention the depth.
Right.
Which means that there's a sea of glass in the city of Jerusalem, and they're under it, and we're on it.
Yeah.
And God knew this from the very beginning, that there was going to be a price for, you know, giving his creation free will.
That's right.
So this all had to play out.
That's right. It's time to draw near to God. It's time to stop listening to people on the radio. It's time to stop buying their books, their DVDs. It's time to start reading your Bible. Trust your Bible.
It's interesting that, so in God is love, right? And
absolutely.
The Bible, and love cannot be expressed unless it's between people.
Amen.
So in heaven, we are one. We are church. We are his people. But when I think of hell, I think of the place of the opposite,
right?
So then it will be unsatisfied
trust,
unsatisfied selfishness, only being able to think of yourself. So think of the irritation because nobody else, no one there is going to care about any other person. And that makes sense to hell.
It's complete makes sense. And don't forget, there's there's a resurrection coming of the just. What did he say about the harvest? When the parable of the wheat and the tares, the harvest is the end of the world. Let the wheat and the tares grow together, right? So when grass grows or wheat, they look the same. But as they start getting nearer to the harvest, the tares look like darnel, or black, or dark, or burnt. And the wheat turns golden white. It's pure, it's white, you know what I mean? So you have two resurrections. This one for eternal suffering, this one for eternal bliss under Christ.
Yeah, it's just this might help you understand this a little bit. You work with blueprints for the jobs that you do. You know exactly what's going to be. You have a plan laid out before you for what you will accomplish. You know every part of it. You know what has to be done, but you have to put the work forth to complete it. That's what the Lord has done here.
That's right.
He laid out a blueprint of what he was going to do. He's known all his works from foundation of the world. He has known exactly what he's going to complete it, and because he is omnipotent, there is no one beside him that can stir him from his task.
That's right.
He has nothing, there's no power over him that can stop him. He will cause to happen exactly as he has blueprinted to happen, and that's what we're in the process of now. That's how he has known all things from the beginning. You open up blueprints. I don't know if anybody else here has worked off of blueprints or not, but my life was built upon that. I knew every room, every light switch, every light, and this is just man's understanding.
Right.
This is
right.
The filth of man's right. understanding. How much more the God that we serve.
That's right.
When he set forth his blueprint for what his plan was.
That's right.
It's not so much that it's already taken place, he saw it and he's just fulfilling it. He set forth, he's even greater than that. He set forth a plan and no one will keep him from that plan.
And that's why he wants unity. That's why he wants a congregation, a group of people that they read their own scriptures and he shows Doug something.
Yeah.
He shows Lauren something, right? Because this is his blueprint, but I've got a feeble, stupid brain, right? So I can only take in so much, so he gives Gary a little something, he gives Lance a little, and we all come together and we share it.
The wonderful thing about blueprints like you're talking about, the plumber only hears about the plumber brand.
Right.
Electrician only hears about the electrician. Right.
Plumbers make bad electricians. There's a lot of
fire.
Honestly, that's why we're all given. We all have a part to play.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you don't play your part, there's another one. He will
use
you from the
shores. He wants to use you. Will you make yourself available?
Right. So he does not need us, but he offers it to us. And he would wish, his will is that all would be part of it. Of Israel. All
right.
of Israel would be part of it. The other group is not even there to have.
Okay. Lance, Mayor, and then Alan, and then we're going to move on.
Bible is the road. Bible is the blueprint to the marriage.
That's right.
Without the spirit of adoption, you're not getting there.
That's
it's
right.
Like you can have a blueprint, but if nobody explains it to you, it's worthless.
It's not God's blueprint. It's our working. It's our instruction for our part.
Do you believe it?
It's delivered to each one by the Holy Spirit according to the gifts given to you when God went to heaven. He has made you. This is what you're going to do. If you so partake of it, this is your job. That's what individualizes, that's what keeps it alive. Nobody knows God's blueprint except for God. That's what Jesus said. No one's wise but the Father himself. What's wisdom? The understanding of what's going to happen. He said that. So we don't have wisdom, we have God. God is wisdom. This is only our directions for our facet. That's why it speaks differently to you and differently to me.
Right.
Who was it? You. Everybody's not a foot, everybody's not a hand.
That's right.
But this is a foot to a foot, and that's a hand to a hand.
Right. Right.
That's the beauty of Scripture. It's amazingly aligned.
That's right.
And
it's aligned
to each individual.
If you try to do somebody else's job, if the plumber tries to run his plumbing the same place the electricity wiring was done, it messes the whole house up.
Mayor Allen, we're going to move on.
Okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
So going on with the body, we were talking last night that when it says that he's a foot and he's a eye and stuff
right.
like that, so those body parts, there's not going to be like 10,000 feet.
No.
Okay? they're cells. We're each a cell of the body. So what we each have to work in conjunction with the other cells that make up that particular part. That's why
they're symbiotic. They need each other.
Yes, you know? And that's what covers the globe.
That's right.
And I would offer even beyond that that the body is a perfect example. His cell structure is provided by God.
That's right.
God doesn't make decisions.
That's right.
When you're explaining the blueprints, there's a meeting daily.
Yeah.
Okay. To figure out what's got to be done so that everybody moves smoothly.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, the blueprints are made by man, so there's mistakes. So you say, listen, you made your elevation a little bit too high on this end, too low on that, and you've got to correct that before I can move on.
That's right.
So it's a daily process, and you don't just read a blueprint because by opening up and looking at it, you've got to sit down and study.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. To be taught by the Master.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit teaches, not John MacArthur. The Holy Spirit. So what are we doing here? But yet, we're using Scripture.
Right.
I'm not giving you my opinions and my thoughts. I'm going to Scripture. Right? Okay, let's move on. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. What are mountains?
Kingdoms.
So there's kingdom, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So if she's descending, where is she going? Here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Which is it? Yes.
Yeah.
Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a most precious stone, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So we're that living stone. You know, when they said, even Jesus said, even these stones will cry out. We're the living stone. We're not dead stones. We're living stone. And I think there's something to it. Okay, so... So for verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in the name of, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, so look at 16. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city and the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth where the height of it are equal. It's four square. It's dimensional. It's a dimensional place. So look what he says in 17. And the wall thereof was 100. And does this number sound familiar? 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is an angel. When you're resurrected, you are going to take on an angelic form. Right? And he says the angel and the men are no different. Mm-hmm. And yet this city is 144 cubits, and you have 144,000 that are Jews, Israel, we are Israel. You see, I see how it all plays out. It's a dimensional place that is coming to the earth, and he's bringing it.
So you're saying when he says the measure of a man, that is of the angel. You're saying he's likening us to angels?
Well, didn't he say it?
Yes,
in the resurrection, let's look at it.
And he's talking about marriage or not marriage.
That's right. Matthew 22. That's right.
Where?
Matthew 22. Yeah, 22:30. First of all, here come these clowns, and they're going to want to debate Jesus Christ. And they're talking about some lady, which never happened,
right?
Her husband died, and she's looking to procreate, right? So the seven brothers had her. None of them had children, so they're going to ask him in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Verse 30. Look at 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Do not err in your own thoughts and your own opinions. Your knowledge comes from Scripture and Scripture alone. For in the resurrection, it does not say in the resurrections, the word resurrection is always singular. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as it's touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that he which spoke unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the
dead.
Yeah. Satan is the God of the dead, of the second death. Our God is the God of the living. That's the promise. So, yes, Wendy, we will be angelic in our resurrection, right?
But we will not be angels.
Right.
Okay, that's a different
That's right.
Group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it says like them.
That's right.
Saying will be. That's right. Will be like
them. Exactly. I would offer that resurrection is the marriage, therefore no more marriage.
Absolutely.
After that.
Yeah.
That there is a unity between man and spirit that takes place that's not taking place yet.
That's right.
Right.
That's what he's speaking about. It's not that they won't, he is saying it kind of the reverse there, but that the marriage is already taking place. There's no need for marriage after that point. There is a different coming forth at that point that is not yet been attained other than Jesus himself.
That's right. So and think of an angel. If you've looked at angels in the Bible, can you kill an angel?
No.
Yeah. An angel lights up the world, right? He can manifest himself. He can eat. He can drink. He can disappear. That's the nature you're going to take on. But like he said, we are not a whole different form of God's creation. We were redeemable.
Can I just say the comment that was made this morning, I'm still working on. But I think it's really interesting that, because I always thought there was no marriage or given in marriage, there's no male-female, but I mean, it says in the scripture.
Right.
But you were saying that there is feminine and masculine.
Absolutely.
It's something like all better, but.
What we don't have in the coming kingdom is male and female. But what
right.
we have is masculine and feminine.
And that makes sense to me, because that is who we
that's
have
right.
been.
That's right. Right. And you will. You will be that. I'll say this. Your soul, your soul is actually your dimensional body. That's what I'll say. And right now that body has your soul covered. That body has to come off for your soul and your spirit to go into heaven. Now this is opinion. I think you're going to look like that. Except glorified.
Right. Well, even Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, still looked
right.
like Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Only he just glowed.
Yeah. And Elijah and Moses appeared
right.
with him.
Yeah.
They weren't resurrected.
No.
But yet they were in their souls.
Yeah, they looked at it and said, that's Moses. Now all
right.
Peter and them never saw Moses.
That's
they
right.
saw Elijah.
That's right.
They recognized him.
That's right. They had a body.
What I will be like when I get there, but when I get there I'll be like him.
And what did he do? When he did that, he opened up the kingdom
yes.
of heaven to the apostles.
Right.
So they could see this. Okay. Where am I? Foursquare. So the city's foursquare, right? And the measure of square was 144 cubits. I think that's all I had. Okay. So.
So even in this dimensional, there are confines. It's only that square space. 1,500 miles, I think, if we were to transform that part. So it is, although it's outside of space and time, as well within the confines of space and time.
Yeah.
Which is a mind-boggling thing. Because how can you be in it and not of it and of it and not part in it?
Well, and he clearly says, you know, a lot of people think that when he appears and he regenerates, that time ends, that there's no more time. As Thomas says, Revelation says that the tree, that the leaves are given for the months of the healing of the nations. So there is a continual time that takes place in this dimension.
But it's not our time concept. It's God's time concept. So
yeah, but there is time. It's not like...
You can't understand it.
When it says that there will be time no more, it means it's done. It's over. It's finished. This world is over.
Yeah, it does mean that everybody's time stops.
That's right.
Revelations 21, verse 22 and 23, says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So to me, that says that there's no temple because there's no more sinning, where there's no need to sacrifice for sins, and there's no earthly concept. There's no sun, there's no moon. He provides the light inside of that temple. There is no other kingdom besides God and Jesus.
In his kingdom, in heavenly Jerusalem. But you do see a millennial temple on the earth, in earthly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
There, so clearly, you know, like you said, though, in there, he is the temple. He is the light.
Is that heavenly Jerusalem that's coming down, is that to basically connect the earth and the heavenly realm in perfect unison?
Yeah. Tabernacle of God, heavenly Jerusalem, is with man.
Is that the marriage? And then we will be connected with our Father.
Absolutely.
Will be his Son.
We will see the Godhead. Nobody has ever seen the God. They've seen Jesus Christ. They've seen a vision. The Lord sitting on his throne. That's right. But nobody has ever seen the Godhead. We're going to see it.
And that's the freedom. We'll no longer be a bastard son. Actually in that arrangement.
That's right.
So we truly have never really seen Jesus. We've only seen him quote.
That's right.
In man's flesh.
Right.
And he's always referred to in the scriptures as one like unto the Son of Man.
That's right.
You're seeing him in some sort of a cloak.
That's right.
He's never said, you see Jesus. You see him in some sort of a cloak.
That's right.
There is something very powerful in being cloaked and being left.
But do you believe it?
Yeah,
What did he say? Blessed are those who have not seen Thomas, but yet believe.
Yeah.
I've never seen him. I believe him more than Pastor Fitz is sitting right here. Jake.
Yeah, the end of Revelation 6, the whole world is going to see
both. That's right.
And then the evil ones are going to try to hide in the rock.
That's right. And Titus 2:13 said they see the Father and the Son. Their glorious appearance. What is their glorious appearance? Heavenly. The glory is heavenly.
But again, they're not immediately killed.
That's right.
They go and hide.
Yeah, they're going to try to hide the rocks. Are the post-trib preppers going to get saved by hiding in the rocks? They can't hide.
So you can't go to Pennsylvania and get out of this.
You can't move their conservative state. You can't move their conservative state. Right? And when this thing comes, it comes.
I'm sorry, kind of rabbiting a little bit. Back in verse 14, the wall of the city of 12 foundations, it mentions the 12 apostles. Is that a reference to possibly the tribe of Israel? Or what's the...
No, are their names on the gates? There's the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs.
Yeah.
And, but why?
Because clearly the tribes are a government. You have the number 12, it's a government. What you have there is a government. He's not done with them. They are. This is the promise he made to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 12 gates are the apostles. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 19? He says, when I come in the regeneration of the earth, he shall sit on 12 thrones judging 12 tribes. So they have, each one has their place. So it's just that his kingdom is this dimensional kingdom of not just the church, but the church in the wilderness too. The Jews were considered the church too. It's a gathering of all of God's people together, built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, right? So where did the prophets come from? The 12 tribes. So there's your foundation. Where did I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? The apostles and the prophets are the foundation stones built off of the cornerstone.
They represent the two covenants coming together.
That's right.
He doesn't destroy. He fulfills the law.
That was good. That was good. Say that again. Listen.
Yeah, it represents the two covenants. The one that was given to Israel at Sinai and the second one, Jesus Christ with the apostles.
I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. That's why I say, you can't keep the law, but if you keep Christ, you keep the law.
Because he kept the law.
So, once again, look at 16. And this is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. The city lieth four square, length, and the breadth, and the height. The height. He doesn't mention the depth.
Right.
Okay, so look at Revelation 15. 15:1. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues and filled up them with the wrath of God. Are we appointed to wrath?
No.
No. So we just got caught up, right? And at verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And then they got victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark. Somebody ought to send this to John MacArthur.
Amen.
They got victory over the image, over the mark, right over the beast. Stand on the sea of glass. So if we just got caught up and he's about to pour his wrath on the earth, we're standing on the sea of glass. Revelation 16 says, doesn't mention the word depth.
Right.
Height, width, and breadth. And as we're coming down, he's pushing them into their place. And they are under the sea of glass. Make sense? We're standing on it.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is Mark 16, and you shall tread on serpents.
And scorpions.
And scorpions.
And Revelation 2, one of the churches says, you'll stand on their necks.
Yeah.
Start to take this stuff literally.
So we can see what's happening?
I think it's a sea of glass mingled with fire. So I'm not sure, it's not clear as crystal, but
yeah.
You're aware.
There are some things that
and look on Satan.
That's right. That's why I say, even relatives that have rejected Christ, when Christ comes and it breaks our heart because we know their eternal damnation. But yet, in this, we will know that Christ, God is righteous in his judgment. And if my family member does not receive Christ, I will know he did right.
Right.
And I'm not saying you got what you deserve,
no,
because he's going to wipe away my tears, but I know he did right.
And I deserve it too.
That's right.
Amen.
And I deserve it.
I deserve it too.
That's right. Okay. For some reason I have Hebrews 2 here again. Last, Hebrews 2:14. Diane, John 8:44, and Ash, Matthew 23:32.
It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that in the power of death, that is the devil.
Who's got the power of death?
The
devil.
Yeah.
And he's about to get destroyed. So who's next?
He says, John 8:44. Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Okay, so you see, he's the father, then he has children. Mm-hmm. I would suggest the children are Mystery Babylon. His children, his people.
It's whoever does not believe.
That's right.
It's all of that.
That's right.
It is the religious group of the Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
The religious group of the Catholics.
That's right.
The religious group of the Jews, you know. And God, Jesus did not like religious people.
That's right. The Mystery Babylon is, it's not New York City.
No.
It's not someplace in Iraq. It's all of them that have rejected Christ. It is a place that is going to burn forever. That's right. Of unbelievers and their devils with them. Go ahead.
In Revelation it says that I, he that was bad, and the whole and the left, and I hold the key to the power of death.
Death and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, who is
death?
That?
Just
who?
Saved, or does he hold keys?
Absolutely. And what does he do? He opens up. He comes and opens up death and hell, and he throws them in there.
Right.
So it is Christ. No, absolutely. But he can be given those keys, because in Revelation 9 it says, I saw an angel fall, and the keys were handed to him to the bottomless pit. So Christ, don't forget. The Bible says that Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Well, what is her golden cup? Full of abominations of the earth, murder, death. He uses her to fulfill his will. Go ahead, Asha.
Matthew 23:33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?
You serpents, generation of vipers. There is a genealogy of serpents that is not going to escape hell. This is the point I'm trying to make. Mystery Babylon is Satan and his city, his people.
That's why I can never understand why Mystery Babylon, they would say it was the Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire. They're trying to understand these things in this realm.
Right.
That's not how you understand it. You understand it
this
here.
Makes more sense to me.
Absolutely.
Try to understand what they were saying.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Revelation 17:5, some interesting stuff here. So God, where's God's name written? In your forehead.
Yeah. You're okay. Sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And upon her, for 75, and upon her forehead, okay, a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. 13 things there. 13. Does anybody know what 13 represents? Rebellion.
Revelation 13 is about Satan.
It's right. Revelation 13. It's right. Rebellion. So I got some things here. I don't want to get too far. Nimrod, who was the first rebel, he was the 13th from Ham. These aren't coincidences. The number 13 in your Bible is rebellion. And Doug just said it. Revelation 13. Genesis 13:13 talks about the men of Sodom being exceedingly wicked. That's rebellion.
Look at all the chapter 13s and the verse 13 in your Bible.
Yeah, just
they're not all evil.
That's right.
But there are percentages there. You need to look at those.
Absolutely. And that's why I said, I've heard people say, well, the chapters and the verses weren't in the original text. Yeah, well, God knew they were going to be there, and he did it for a reason. You have chapters and verses for a reason in your Bible.
So rightly divide the word.
Exactly. That's good, Doug.
And left versus right.
That's right. That's right. So Dan, who's the 12th, right? Dan, who is the 12th of the 12 tribes, but yet the Lord makes Levi the center because the Lord is in the midst,
right.
And he adds Manasseh and Ephraim, and Dan became the 13th. Right? And what does it say about Dan? He is a serpent's tail. So, and I actually do think Judas probably comes from that tribe. I could be wrong. So there you go. Dan is not in the book of Revelation 7 when the gifts are given to the 12 tribes. Interesting. Judas, he's the 12th, right? But is Christ the head or the tail?
Yeah.
He's the head. So if Christ is the head, Judas is what? The 13th. Make sense?
But they replaced
him. Yeah, with Matthias. Right. But Christ is now gone, right? Now you have your 12th. And actually, Paul is a 13th.
Yeah.
But he's the Gentiles. That's right.
And then Dan shows back up in Ezekiel 48.
Absolutely. And Dan does get a reward in the last days. Genesis 49, 50, I think 50, they get a plot of land in the last days. But yet they're not there in Daniel, in Revelation. Okay, so turn to Mark 7. Mark. Mark 7:20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness.
13.
All these things, all these evil things come from within that defile man. Rebellion, right? Okay, I got another one here. This was fun. I had fun with it. Romans 1. These are times where you just drop and you start crying and you say, who am I? Romans 1. And this is who God is. He takes the foolish. He takes the foolish of the world. And he says, I can use him. He just believes this. He didn't go to college. He doesn't write books. He doesn't make tours. He just believes this. I can use that still. Yeah, so proposal guy. My education, I could have flunked every grade. It could have took me 24 years to get through school.
Did you flunk third grade?
I flunked the third. I should have flunked the ninth. I should have flunked the tenth. I had to go to summer school, right? And God says, I can use that.
We would never go to time. Seriously, we would never.
Praise God. Okay, so Romans 1:28-31. There's more than 13 here, but notice the 13. Okay? Because when they knew God, they knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves, they became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man and birds and four-footed things and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. 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 For this cause, God shall give them up to vile affection, even their woman, to change the natural use into that which is against nature. We all know what that means. Likewise, men leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receive in themselves the recompense of error, which is mean. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So they knew God. God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Haters of God is actually the 13th. I screwed that up. Haters of God is the 13th. That's rebellion. Okay, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient, without parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know God. They know the judgment of God. They rather feed their flesh. They rather live for today and say, I sit as a queen and will be judged of no one. Right? Okay, so.
I lost count. How many are there? Like 19?
I think there ended up being like 21 or 23, is it?
Yeah,
I have to admit, I don't know what 23 is.
In 3? 23?
24.
23, yeah. That means you busted. And one you got five.
Okay, let's move on. Two women, Proverbs. I think we can get through this part real quick. Then next week, we're going to look at the mystery. God does not keep secrets from us. Right. There's mysteries in your Bible, but you know what? He's kind enough to explain the mystery to us.
Yeah.
Okay, so Proverbs. When you read, somebody said they've been reading Proverbs. When you read Proverbs, yes, it is talking about the earthly, godly woman, and the ungodly. But think spiritual too. Two women in your Bible, in Proverbs. Heavenly, the bride, and the harlot. Okay? The dimensional. So we'll just go through a couple. We could do this through all the Proverbs, and we'll be here until a year from now. But we're just going to go through this. Look at Proverbs 2. Listen to the words that God uses. He does this for a reason. Two women in your Bible, a bride and a harlot. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom. Wisdom is a Holy Spirit word, right? The Holy Spirit is male. It's masculine. He's masculine. Well, listen to what it says. And apply thine heart to understanding. A Holy Spirit word, right? If thou criest after knowledge, a Holy Spirit word. And liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest her as a hidden treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, a Holy Spirit word. And find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, and cometh knowledge and understanding. So if she's not he, right? But these are Holy Spirit words which are masculine, but if they're in you, you're the her. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, opposites. 7. Yeah, 7, 1 through 10. Proverbs 7, 1 through 10. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thy eye. Bind them on thy fingers, write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and understanding thy kinswoman. Women. The spirit. Okay? Okay, for in the window of my house I look, and through the case, behold, simple, among the simple I discern, among the youths, a young man void of the Holy Spirit. Understanding. Right? Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Okay, so look at 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth after the slaughter, or a fool to the correction of stocks. He's just led, being led by the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the... flesh, kind of life. He's just being—he's clueless.
Mm-hmm. So I think verse 5. You didn't read verse 5, but ask if this would possibly miss your deadline, and that they may keep thee from the stranger, from the stranger who flattereth with the words.
It's right. Appearance. It's right.
Yeah.
The things of this world. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about heavenly Jerusalem and mystery Babylon. Okay. Look at 26. For she had cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You're not?
Close.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all in search on the twist side.
Okay, all right, so just one more. 9, 1 through 6, one more. Wisdom buildeth her house. She had hewn down out her 7. How many attributes of the Holy Spirit? 7. 7 pillars. She had killed her beast and had mingled her wine, and she had furnished her table. She sent forth her maidens and cried upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Is that sound familiar? Wine and bread? Drink of, okay. For I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth the scorn and have himself understanding. So let's just finish this. 13 to 18. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat, on the high places. Call passengers, they go right by in their ways. Who is simple, let him turn in hither, and for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten is a secret, but is pleasant. But he knoweth not that they, not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depth of hell. Father God, thank you. Thank you for taking over. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and intervening with my stupidity. Thank you for meeting us here in this place and teaching us scripture, teaching us true doctrine. You are so kind to us. Let us never forget the pit that we have been dug out of. Let us continue to walk and be obedient to your word. Let us put your scriptures above the doctrines of men. Father God, I thank you for being kind to us. I thank you for teaching us true and right doctrine. And I pray, Father God, that we will never forget of who you are and